Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
GE brings the economy to light.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. GE does a lot of things. It builds jet engines, train cars, water treatment plants. It owns NBC Universal. So it's a pretty good bellwether of economic conditions. This morning, GE said first quarter profits fell 6%. The company's financial divisions really didn't help the cause. GE also lowered its profit outlook for the year. Investors responded by selling. GE stock is down 10% on Wall Street. So far, all of the major indexes are down about 1%. The Dow has lost 114 points already to 12,467. The NASDAQ is down 25. The S&P 500 has lost 13. Same story in Europe. Stocks are down about 1%. The Asian markets didn't get the GE memo in time. Asian shares gained 2 to 3%. On the West Coast, the annual run of king salmon is in danger. In the Sacramento River alone, the number of spawning fish has dropped 93% in the last 6 years. Last night, the federal government took drastic action. It called off the salmon fishing season. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
The decision would ban commercial and recreational salmon fishing off the coast of California and most of Oregon. This is the first time the federal government has scrapped the fishing season.
I mean, it's unprecedented.
That's Brian Gorman with NOAA Fisheries, the federal agency in charge of salmon management.
I think it's really sad for fishermen. Many of these fishermen depend on income from commercial salmon fishing for their livelihoods. And if that isn't there, they're going to be in deep trouble.
The 1,000 fishermen who troll the coast could lose three-quarters of their annual incomes. In all, salmon fishing brings $30 million annually to the California and Oregon economies. The federal government will likely declare a state of emergency, meaning millions in relief dollars for the region. If you have a taste for salmon, prices could double at fancy restaurants. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Yet another airline has gone bust. Frontier Airlines, based in Denver, filed for bankruptcy this morning. But Frontier says it will keep flying, unlike some of the other airlines that have tanked. By the way, American has canceled half its schedule for today. It's called off 3,000 flights this week. But American hopes things will get back to normal this weekend. Europe's highest court has ruled on one of the burning questions of our time. When is a cake a cookie? Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. Stephen, please enlighten us.
What we've had is a whole army of lawyers toiling for 12 years over this case. Millions of dollars in legal fees have been spent, and it's revolved around this kind of central issue of whether Marks and Spencer's chocolate-covered mini cakes are indeed cakes or cookies.
Well, that is a big issue.
It really is. Well, there's a lot of money involved here because food is not subject to sales tax in the UK. However, candy is. Now, the UK tax authorities have ruled that Marks and Spencer's chocolate-covered mini cakes were heavily disguised cookies and therefore taxable. Marks and Spencer said no, and they demanded something like $7 million in tax back from the tax authorities. They have now finally got that money back.
Are there any other cases out there like this?
No, I think this one is pretty unique. The whole thing, according to the Times of London, is completely ridiculous because, as everyone knows who's tasted these chocolate-covered mini cakes, they are so dangerous and addictive, they should have been treated as Class A illegal drugs and, as such, would not have been subject to tax.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Here in the States, there's a new set of stamps to honor some of our American idols. Kelly Clarkson will be the first 42-cent stamp. Yes, former winners Jordan Sparks, Fantasia, and Taylor Hicks will also have their own postage. At least the proceeds will benefit the TV show's Give Back charity. This is the Morning Report for Friday, April 11th on Marketplace.org. In Congress, the House has delayed a vote on the free trade agreement with Colombia. Some business groups are worried that could be a problem for future trade deals. John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
White House trade officials said the House vote was a slap against an important ally. Fred Bergsten with the Peterson Institute for International Economics says this damages U.S. credibility.
I think it drives a major hole into the global trading system. America's trading partners will no longer have any confidence that deals they do with the United States will be carried through by the Congress on a timetable that's certain and without bringing in amendments or ancillary issues.
I think that's nonsense.
AFL-CIO Policy Director Thea Lee says the White House should have negotiated a trade deal with better protections for workers in Colombia.
Countries are always going to be interested in negotiating trade agreements with the United States because it's a very attractive market.
The White House is now reconsidering whether to submit pending trade deals with South Korea and Panama for congressional approval. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
In Italy this weekend, they're having their big elections. And just like here, the economy is the main issue. Forgive Italians for being a bit skeptical. The same old politicians are on the ballot, promising the same old changes. And a lot of people are struggling just to make ends meet. Megan Williams reports from Rome.
No matter who wins the elections, Italy's in for a rough economic ride. Its debt outsizes the value of its economy. Growth is expected to slow to zero, and the middle class is slipping towards poverty. No surprise the economic plans proposed by both right-wing billionaire candidate Silvio Berlusconi and the left leader Walter Veltroni are virtually the same. Aid to struggling families and tiny breaks for businesses. All Italy can afford at this point. Political expert Luisa Cordova says Italy's financial woes give Berlusconi the edge because he's lowered taxes in the past.
Even if he's not promising that in these elections, Berlusconi is the one that cut taxes.
Whoever wins Monday is likely to face tough times, just like Italy itself. In Rome, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
In this country, many illegal immigrants actually do pay taxes. They just don't get all the benefits from paying those taxes. With tax day approaching, Stacey Vanek-Smith explains how the system really works.
Illegal immigrants pay an estimated $9 billion in Social Security taxes every year. In most cases, the money comes out of their paychecks, which are processed using fake Social Security numbers. And they don't get benefits. Blair Borthaire advises tax companies on the Latino market and helps Latinos with financial issues. She says the money that illegal immigrants pay is propping up our system.
The folks that say undocumented immigrants don't pay taxes are wrong. The interesting thing is, though, that the surplus is really what has been the thing that's kept the Social Security Administration alive.
Borthaire points out a lot of illegal immigrants file tax returns, too. The IRS will give them a taxpayer ID number, even if they don't have a Social Security number. And the IRS has pledged not to turn in illegals who pay their taxes. Why would illegal immigrants want to pay taxes? Borthaire says getting that taxpayer ID number is crucial. People can use it to get loans and enroll children in school. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Musicians make house calls, too, you know. If they can't get a gig at a club, they might go perform in someone's garage or basement or living room. Anything to get their music in front of a live audience. Some of these musicians are actually turning a profit this way. Lisa Chow explains.
You almost get the sense sometimes that musicians enjoy not making money. Violinist Joanna Frankel is a Juilliard graduate and has performed at Carnegie Hall.
I mean, I guess to a fault, I'm not thinking about money, because this to me is something very pure, very honest.
Frankel and five other musicians recently performed in a grand apartment overlooking Central Park. They played for dozens of people, but they didn't make a dime. Michael Rheingold organized the event. He says he doesn't charge guests because his main goal is getting people turned on to classical music. And that's hard enough.
When I package it with the social element, with the intimacy of it, and the food, you know, all these elements put together, it becomes more attractive.
At the other end of town, singer-songwriter Ruth Gerson has found a way to make house concerts pay. She used to play at clubs, but switched to house.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.